And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we continue this journey together in this Advent season. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we continue our series together on these Sundays titled Serious Preparations. And last week, we had looked at Scripture and seen where God had given us a number of directives through His Word for making a list, literally making a list of ways that we can prepare for the celebration of our Lord's birth and be prepared always for when our Lord may return. And that may happen before Christmas. Only God knows the day and the hour of that great event still in our future. But last week, in making that list, do you remember some of the things that were on it? Number one was to be in the Word of God, right? To allow God to speak to our hearts. Number two was to be in worship. All the extra opportunities that we have to worship Him, to gather as His people in preparation. And number three on that list was to be about the Lord's business. And then when we consider the main reason the Lord allows another day to go on this earth is for the sake of the lost, we talked about on our list writing down people that we know are unchurched and to hold them up in prayer on a regular basis and to allow God to guide us in reaching out to them and to share with them the good news of the salvation that He has won. And so that's quite a list, isn't it, that we can continue to make and work on as this season in our lives continue. Well, today, in the second Sunday of Advent, and as we consider the theme, Serious Preparations, is repentance. And so today, our focus is on repentance. And in Scripture, there's a couple Greek words used for repentance, but the one that is used by John in verse 2 of our text this morning literally means to change one's mind for the better. It implies a total alteration of the mind, which produces change in our conduct. So God starts with our minds to bring about change in our hearts. And so we're on this journey of faith through this season of Advent. And there's change ahead. There's always room for you and I to change as God would desire us to do so. Repentance, the change of one's mind for the better. And so we go to our gospel reading this morning, Matthew 3, verse 2. And John comes upon the scene, and here is his message. There it is. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, there's a couple crowds that gather when they hear that John is out there preaching this in the wilderness. And one of those crowds is described as the people from Jerusalem and Judea and the region around the Jordan. And so there's all kinds of people that are coming with great anticipation to see John and to hear the message that he is preaching. That's one crowd. Then there's another crowd described in this text, and it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, these were the leaders within the church of that day. The Pharisees, they were very works righteous oriented. They felt that they could save themselves through the works that they did. And not only did they have God's written law, but they added all kinds of other laws to that list and demanded other people to abide by those laws. And they kind of stood there, you know, chest out, boasting that we got our lives together. But whenever you're in that self-righteous mode, it's always the temptation and the tendency to look down upon others in a legalistic way, in a judgmental way. And, you know, you better get your act together so you can be as good as we are. It's kind of the Pharisees' approach. So you had the Pharisees showing up, and then you had the Sadducees, and the Sadducees denied the resurrection. They were ones who were looking for this Messiah to come, not to win some kind of spiritual victory, but this Messiah was going to come and reestablish the Davidic kingdom, a physical kingdom on earth. And so they also show up with the Pharisees to see John the Baptist and to hear the message that he is preaching. But it's certainly quite a distinction, isn't it, between the two groups that are gathering out there where John is, which really begs the question for you and me this morning. We've heard this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So it's important for us now not to look at the crowds, not to look at the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but to look within ourselves. And it's a time for us to really evaluate, which Advent's a wonderful season to do this, and ask the question to yourself, with what attitude do I come to hear this message this morning? This message of repentance from John the Baptist. Well, it's kind of interesting as a pastor sometimes, some of the things that I hear over the years, but one that I've heard from time to time as I'm greeting people as they leave worship, as Lindy and I generally do, and somebody will shake my hand and say, "Pastor Hafeman, boy, I wish my neighbor was here this morning because he really needed to hear what was being preached this morning." And I'm thinking, well, did you need to be here this morning to hear what was being preached? But you see, we can get into that Pharisaic mind. It's like, yeah, boy, that other person, they really need to hear this because they're self-righteous. Oh, man, they're stubborn. They're unloving. And they dot, dot, dot. You can just add to the list. They're the ones that really need to hear this. Not me, but they need to hear it. You ever get into that mode? Temptation to think that way? Well, you could probably relate at that moment more with the Pharisee crowd. And it's very easy for us in our sinful condition because we really don't like to see our own faults. We don't really like to see our own sin. But it's very easy for us to see the sin and the faults in others. But the message, repent, means to change. To have a change of mind, a change of thought, which leads to a change in our hearts, and not looking at someone else, but looking at ourselves. You know, others say, what's the big deal? You know, Jesus came, he forgave our sins, so preacher, quit speaking about sin anymore. That doesn't really apply to me because I'm forgiven by God. Well, the Lord continues to reveal to us, doesn't he? Even as forgiven sinners, the sin that dwells within us. Because so often we can think, yeah, I've got it all together. And God looks at us and says, no, you don't. And you've got plenty of room where your life needs to change. And it's like God giving us a mirror. I forgot to bring one this morning, a handheld mirror. And we look at that mirror and God's law reveals it to us. And so the message still applies to you and me this morning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And you know, when you think about it, if we really fail to see the seriousness of our sin, then really what's the big hoopla about this season? Why look forward to the celebration of our Lord's birth? I mean, what's the big deal? If sin isn't that big a deal, then Jesus really isn't that big a deal either, right? The reason he came was because of the seriousness of sin. We are very blessed as Lutherans in our liturgy. Generally, when we begin worship with confession and absolution, in our liturgy, oftentimes 1 John chapter 1 is quoted, and these are the words that we hear on most Sunday mornings. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Wow, that's pretty serious, wouldn't you say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we claim that we are without sin, we are really stepping outside the boundaries of faith. We are separating ourselves from Jesus, who came to save us from that very sin. And so our response to the call for repentance is very revealing of what is within our heart and in our minds. And it was very revealing on that day with John the Baptist. So we go back to those crowds, and we have the people that are from Judea and Jerusalem and from the whole region of Jordan. And in Matthew 3, verses 5 through 6, here's what we hear going on among this part of the crowd. People went out to him from those areas, and look at it, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now, these were people that recognized the seriousness of their sinful condition. They were hearing this message from God's servant to repent, to have a change of mind, to have a change of heart, and with that, a change of conduct. And they were confessing their sins and they were being baptized. God was working his miracles of grace upon these people. In fact, if you go to some of the other gospel accounts, we hear that they're even asking John, you know, what then shall we do? They were cut to heart by this message, and they were asking, what should we do to change our lives for the future? That's where God wants and desires our hearts to be. That we recognize that we are sinful and that we seek his will in the direction that he would have us go. Now that's the crowds that came out. But then you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it's very revealing by their actions where they were at in their hearts. And so in verses 7 and 9, we hear about them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." And so here you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You don't hear anything about any of them confessing their sin, nor do we hear about any of them being baptized. They see no need for it. And they don't want the grace of God that was there being offered to them. In fact, they made the claim, "God, we're doing just fine. Thank you very much. We don't need you because we're children of Abraham. Our descendants, we are part of this Jewish nation, and we are saved." Be kind of like today, and I've heard it maybe expressed verbally or by action, "I'm a member of a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. I've been there since the time I was a child, and that makes me right with God. It's all I need. Got my name on the membership list." And some people live their lives that way. It's like, I'll show up for worship on Sunday, got that out of my busy schedule, park that, and now I'm going to go off on my journey of real life for the week, and then I'll come back again. But I can hang on to that because that's going to save me. God says no. You know, I can bring stones up in that way, but it's a change of heart. And so, how do you welcome the message that John the Baptist brings this morning? But you know what's really fascinating about John's word? Of course, God, as he inspired it, is it's a motivation from the gospel. Did you hear that? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's pure gospel. You know, I can remember Lindy and I being at a Broncos game several years ago, and another time when we were in Las Vegas walking down a street, and you have these people on the corner, you know, as the crowds are walking by, and they're yelling, "Repent, or you're all going to go to hell," you know? And it's like, whoa, there's a real motivation, right? But it's law, and the law cannot change hearts. The law reveals our sin, but it's not empowered to change hearts. That's not what John is preaching. He is preaching repentance, but it's from the gospel. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. And really, what is this kingdom of heaven? But it's Christ. It's the very Son of God. It is God in the flesh who is right here in your midst right now. He desires for you to be part of his kingdom. Turn away from your old ways and follow him. Turn to him. It's God with open arms welcoming and desiring you and me to be part of his kingdom. And you know, think about how exciting that was for the crowds. They knew the Old Testament well. We heard it from the prophecy of Isaiah this morning, quoted here in the gospel reading that we heard read a few moments ago, that this has been fulfilled. The one that was prophesied to come is here now. And by the way, John the Baptist also, hundreds of years before John came, in detail was prophesied to come. And there's this excitement. Jesus is here. John the Baptist is here. The Messiah has come. It is gospel. It is good news. God is fulfilling his promises, and God now calling to the world to come into his kingdom. But it starts with repentance. To see a need in the first place for Jesus. And so we know the gospel well. You and I are blessed to live in God's favor, in the reality of his forgiveness, in the security of everlasting life. And so this season of Advent is a wonderful time for us. And we can do this now, totally expose ourselves to God and even to one another, because we live in God's favor. We are forgiven. And so we don't have to point out the sins of others. We can look at our own and see it as it is, because we know it no longer separates us from God. And so it's a time for us to seriously evaluate our lives. It's kind of like preparing for a Christmas party. And I imagine everybody here is going to be going to a party. And imagine being a mechanic and, you know, your hands are all greasy and grimy and your clothes covered in filth. You wouldn't show up in a party that way, right? At a party, generally. No, you'd go home and maybe take off a little early from work and go home and really scrub those hands, clean up, get clean clothes on before you go to the party. It's part of the preparation. And maybe even depending on what the party is, you may consider the people that are going to be there and preparing yourself on, boy, how do I relate to them? How should I conduct myself in the midst of these people? There's a lot of preparation and planning that goes on. But we've got the greatest celebration of all. The celebration that God becomes man in the person of Jesus Christ. That we are blessed to live in the fulfillment, even beyond John the Baptist and the people of that day. We know this beautiful scene before us. Talk about a gospel scene. Knowing that Jesus came to make the journey to the cross, and knowing through this amazing work that he has done, that our sin, that burden, has been lifted away. And God has cleaned us up for the party. Isn't that awesome? We are forgiven, and he prepares our hearts and minds to do his work. We are greatly blessed. But it starts with repentance. And so we can pray with David in the Old Testament. Remember Psalm 51? This is in our liturgy too. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's an awesome prayer. It's inspired. It's God's word. And so to approach each day, God, I want you to evaluate my heart and my mind. And God, today, I want it cleaned up. And only you can do that, Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. And then Psalm 51, look at that. Verses 16 and 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God cleaning us up. And you know, as we pray in our liturgy from 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In essence, what does God declare? But Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh to dwell among us for the purpose of delivering us from our sin. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord.